Thank you, and thank you to you all for joining us for the eNASCAR iRacing Pro Invitational Series race. We are now joined by Timmy Hill, the driver of the number 66 Roof Claim Toyota, and today's winner of the O'Reilly Auto Parts 125 at the virtual Texas Motor Speedway. Timmy, congratulations on the win today. Talk to us a little bit about that final lap.
Sure, and very happy to be here. And yeah, the race was really exciting. The last lap was a two-lap run to the finish, green, white, checkered in overtime. And I had to fight off Ryan Preece and Garrett Smithley, two excellent iRacers. You know, they've really put in a lot of practice, so I knew they would be tough to beat. But after I took the white flag, and I knew how tough it was to pass in a 3 and 4, so I knew if I can kind of hold them off going in turn one, that I can almost coast and drive to a victory. So that was all I was focusing on for the final lap, and I held those guys off through 1 and 2. They got a big run through the center of 3 and 4, and I can hold those guys off. So I couldn't be more excited. You know, it's very exciting times for us because we just don't get the recognition on a normal basis. So to kind of be on an even playing field is excellent. You know, to be on this platform for the Cup platform, it's exciting, and the amount of folks that have reached out to me has just been tremendous. So the last lap was just one I definitely remember for a while.
Well, thank you, and we appreciate your time today. We're going to get as many questions in as we can, and we'll now open it up to questions from the media.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a live question over your telephone line, simply press star and one on your telephone keypad. A reminder that if you're joining us today for the call on a speakerphone, please return to your handset prior to pressing star and one to be certain that your signal does reach our equipment. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star and one, and we'll pause for just a moment to give everyone a chance to signal. We'll hear first from the line of Bob Pockris with Fox Sports. Please go ahead, Bob. Your line is open.
Yeah, Timmy, educate me a little bit on iRacing etiquette. So, like, how many times can Byron kind of do the same to you? Or, like, what do you expect from him going forward? Like, I could predict it if it was actually going from Texas to Bristol and the actual cars. But what's the etiquette in iRacing?
Well, I think the etiquette is similar to real life. You know, basically you race people how they race you. And unfortunately, for, you know, in this situation, you know, we never really race each other because in real life we're on two completely different levels of competition. And so this is a unique situation where we were kind of competing for the win in the closing laps. I think that kind of changes the element of how we're racing. So I'm sure you're talking about the bump and run to take the lead. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was a situation where, you know, I don't get the chance to win much on this platform, this big of a platform. And I always told myself, you know, if I had a chance to win in any type of race, you know, NASCAR, short track level, we came down to it, that's what I would do. So it didn't change because it was iRacing. That's what I would do in real life. You know, going forward, I'm sure William probably isn't happy about it. And I'm sure he'll probably do the same back to me because, like you said, revert back to what I said before, it's you race others how they race you. So I'll probably get a lot of abuse going forward, and I'll have to accept that. But that's in the future. I'm kind of living in the present. I'm happy to get the win.
Well, and I guess, A, it was all worth it, and B, how does Timmy Hill celebrate a win?
So, to me, yes, definitely worth it. You know, the amount of outreach and the amount of people who watch this race and have reached out to me and my sponsors, I think is well deserved. I would do it 100 times over. And the way I celebrate the win, my wife comes up the stairs, she gives me a big hug. You know, my favorite drink is a cup of milk, so she gives me a cup of milk. And down that right away, hugs her. And I had quite a bit of friends that were in my channel throughout the race that were spotting me and crew chiefing me throughout the race, so I got to kind of chat with them. Obviously, I'm not surrounded by all my loved ones right now, but everybody's trying to be safe. But I got a lot of phone calls, a lot of messages, and I feel like they're here with me.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Jim Utter at motorsport.com. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, Timmy. As someone has participated such a long time in iRacing and been very successful, did you ever think the two worlds of real racing and sim racing would collide like they have in this fashion? And As a follow-up question, what did you think about the quality of the competition this week compared to last week?
Sure, and thank you, Jim. I got into iRacing probably 10 to 12 years ago, so I wasn't there for the really beginning, but I was in the early stages and when iRacing was just kind of forming, and I used iRacing as a tool, and I knew that this platform had the potential to grow as much as it has, and obviously, in the last couple of weeks, it's really taken a jump because of the circumstances that we're under. But in my surprise, no, it's a very realistic service, and it's unique in the way that it allows young racers who may not have the funding to go out and drive maybe a go-kart or a late model level, and it gives them the opportunity to practice their skills or even race competitively on iRacing. So, I'm not surprised there to see it grow. It's exciting that iRacing has gotten the opportunity to showcase the excitement and the realism on a national television broadcast. So with that being said, I've taken advantage of it over the years. I've really enjoyed my time on iRacing. You know, we do a couple races a year on iRacing that they try to put together, invitational races throughout the winter, and they've been a success. And so this is something that they've been trying to work towards. And so I'm excited to see that. And I can't remember. What's the second part of your question, Jim?
What did you think of the quality of competition this week compared to the last week's race?
Obviously, I think it was way better. You know, I think all around between the drivers and the iRacing officials and the broadcast team, I think obviously last week was put together super quickly. So whenever something's thrown together quickly, you find bugs. So everything got better. I think the drivers understood that, you know, this is an arcade game. It takes effort. It takes practice. They couldn't just jump into a server and expect to compete well. So you saw a lot of competitors that you didn't see at Homestead really doing well, driving fast times. And, you know, for me, I qualified 10th, and I got shuffled back to 20th in the beginning of the race. And it took me a while to get back to the front. I mean, these guys were that tough to pass. And hats off to the drivers working on it. I thought the broadcast team, I did an excellent job of learning iRacing and how it works, you know, between the tires you put on, the restarts, the way the caution process works. Then obviously, you know, I think iRacing officials learned a lot about when to throw a caution, when not to. You know, obviously when somebody spins, we have the luxury of not having to throw a caution, where in the real world, you may throw it every single time. So it kind of keeps the entertainment factor going. So I think definitely this week's show was probably 100 times better than last week's.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jim. Our next question will come from the line of Jacob Seelman at Speed Sport.
Yeah, thank you. Timmy, congratulations. When you look at how quickly this has come together in so short a time, what's impressed you most about the drivers really rallying around iRacing as a platform right now while we're all waiting to go back to the real racetrack?
I think it's a great way for a lot of the fans to even interact with the drivers. You know, personally, I speak for myself. I've joined a lot of public races as a practice server. So I've raced with probably hundreds of people throughout the week as I prepare for the Sunday event. And the response I get from other competitors that are just, you know, iRacers that get the time off from work or at home right now looking for something to do, you know, they really love communicating with the drivers, and it's a cool way for the fans to interact with us and stay in tune with NASCAR and keep the NASCAR promotion going. So it's definitely been a neat process to be in the NASCAR and iRacing community combined together.
And as a follow-up to that, what do you see these next few weeks? I mean, we've seen the momentum grow now through these two telecasts and a lot of momentum for the service. What do you see this doing for iRacing going forward?
I think it's only going to make iRacing grow, because I think as more eyes kind of lay on iRacing, I think people understand about how realistic it is. And obviously, you know, for me as a younger kid looking into this, when I first joined iRacing, one of the big reasons why I joined iRacing along wanting to get better was to race with the stars I would watch on television. So obviously people watching, race fans in general who even have interest in maybe driving themselves would love to get involved in something like this, with how realistic it is and the opportunity to basically race with your favorite drivers, because a lot of these drivers use this service, and you see these guys throughout the week and any hour of the day. So iRacing is only going to grow from this. I'm excited to see it grow because it's such a great tool for us drivers to use, and it's such a great way for anybody to really get involved in racing.
Thank you for your question, Jacob. Next, we'll hear from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram and the line of Anthony Andro.
Hey, Jimmy, just a couple of questions. First, how did virtual PMS compare to the real tracks? Because you've been on here like 22 times. And then do you think you can get a cowboy hat from Eddie when y'all come back here for real?
Hey, I'll have to ask Eddie that. I appreciate the question. I hope I get a cowboy hat. You know, I love how Texas celebrates their wins with the pistols and the cowboy hat, and I would love to talk to Eddie about that. But I tell you, it's really, really realistic. You know, iRacing, I'm sure most of you know, they laser scan their racetrack, so the details are exact, and it's really special and really cool to be involved in. So the way we drove this racetrack is just like real life. So Texas 1 and 2, they extended the corner closer to the apron, and they really widened out turns 1 and 2. And then 3 and 4 has much more banking. So the way we attack this racetrack is we would have to lift in 1 and 2, then we're actually run 3 and 4 wide open. And as the tires wear off, we would have to lift more and more and eventually start breathing the gas in 3 and 4. So in real life, we go to Texas, and 3 and 4 is definitely wide open. There's so much banking down there and so much downforce in the race cars that you can run wide open down there for a number of laps. So spot on there. The amount of lifting that we do in 1 and 2 is exactly the same. In real life, I find my cars, I find myself lifting quite a bit more in 1 and 2 just because it's just my car is not working as good. So the car in iRacing is definitely working better, but man, I'll tell you what, spot on. The racetrack's really, really close to real life.
Thanks a lot.
Yes, sir.
Next, we'll take a question from the phones in the line of Jeff Gluck at The Athletic.
Hey, Timmy, I'm wondering, does what you pulled off today, does that rank among your other career achievements, or do you view this completely separately than the rest of your, I guess, real-life racing career?
I definitely rank it up there, and the reason being is just because the platform is on, being televised on Fox and having essentially the entire NASCAR audience tuning in. And like I said, I've won a lot of iRacing races, and it's neat to win on there, but it's really neat to win against your competitors that you race each and every Sunday. You know, like I said, iRacing I use as a huge tool for me. It would never replace real life racing, but I tell you what, the way I celebrate this win, the way it ranks for me, is definitely towards the top. It's not the top just because of how the fans react and how the media reacts to it.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Sirius XM NASCAR Radio in the line of Claire Lang. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So you won 674 iRacing events over the course of 1,677 starts. To set you up for this win, how much time did you practice? We saw lots of tweets from drivers, you know, who win in the Cup Series practicing a lot, but they haven't iraced like you. How many hours you put into this?
I was probably putting in at least 4 hours a day leading up to this race. And that was every day of the week. And my wife, oddly enough, says, you know, when are you going to come downstairs? You've been on the thing, you know, all day. So I think she understood how big this event was. And I can say the same for a lot of drivers. When I would join these sessions for practice, I would see a lot of my competition on there putting in the same amount of hours and even more practice than I was putting in. I think most of the field, if not all the field, I think they understand the level of this event and the opportunity that we all have to put on such a great show and entertainment factor. So we all wanted this to be a great show and continue to be an exciting entertainment factor for everybody and keep NASCAR fans in tune with us. So we're all trying to do our best to put on a good race. So I put in my share of hours and laps, and I think it all paid off.
And how do you think this will help you with all the viewers who pay attention to it and all the social media? That question, and then as a follow-up real quickly, how often are drivers parked in iRacing as far as
So for me personally, I think what I'll gain from this is recognition. You know, it's for us, it's hard to get that recognition because of the level of competition that we are in real life. You know, we're doing our best, and we, frankly, we just don't have the money or the dollars to compete at a high level. And every once in a while, we'll get a big sponsor, and you'll see us exceed normal expectations for us, like at Daytona, where we had a really good Daytona 500 car and a really good Xfinity car, and we finished third in the Xfinity race and made the Daytona 500. So every once in a while, we'll get that big payday, and we can really reinvest in our race team. And well, most weekends, we got to kind of do the best we can with the dollars we have. So this win will hopefully gain some recognition. It attracted more sponsors for us, maybe in the real world when we go back racing, because they know Timmy Hill from iRacing and from Fox and from this Invitational. So that's really what I hope from it. I hope to put the game sponsors, and hopefully it'll help me in the real world.
How about the parking, getting parked? How often, like Suarez?
So you don't typically see that too often. And so the bigger events, like iRacing, they put on the Coca-Cola series, and they have live admins. And if somebody does something inappropriate or something reckless, they will disqualify somebody and remove them from the server. And in this case, I think I haven't got the chance to look at the replay, but from what my spotters and everybody were telling me, I believe he was intentionally wrecking another competitor. And really, you don't want to see that. You know, everybody's trying to race for a win and for a great position and put on a good show. And you really can't have that. So you see it probably once in the blue moon, but it does happen. In this case, it's one of those blue moon moments.
Congratulations, Timmy.
Thank you, Claire.
Next, we'll hear from Davey Siegel with Front Stretch.
Hey, Timmy, congratulations from one Marylander to another. I just wanted to know, I mean, you obviously coming in were one of the guys who does iRacing a lot more than the other competitors. So your mindset, was it more so of a, okay, I can actually compete for wins in this thing? Because those that were watching today that also watch Real Cup Racing every week know that you're not in the picture for a win or a top 10 finish every week. So what was your mindset going into these events, thinking that you have an edge up on the competition?
So for me personally, the iRacing platform, it's kind of an equalizer in the fact that the cars that we're driving on there, I'm in the same cars as everybody. And most weekends, like you said, I'm not in that situation. I'm in a situation where I'm racing on 15 lap tires, and I got a motor that's 50 to 100 horsepower down, and I got a car that's probably 5 years old. So I'm really kind of behind the eight ball as soon as we show up at the racetrack a lot of times. So to come into the service where everybody has the same cars, and in this case, even the same setup, so everybody's on the same exact playing field, and basically the driver conquers all in the situation. So I had more experience going into it because I've been on the service quite a bit longer, and I knew that would be to my advantage. But at the end of the day, these guys are all competitors. They're all turning laps, turning hundreds of laps, and they're all doing the best they can. So I can, for me to actually beat these guys in the level playing field, it really feels good for my driving talents. And I look forward to the competition as it gets better in the coming weeks.
And also to see that you did it with what looked like a 10-year-old steering wheel and on a desk compared to people like Denny Hamlin and Kyle Busch, who have, multi-$1,000 rigs that look like spaceships, like Clint Boyer says. I mean, what does it say about the system itself, and then also the capability of people watching to say, okay, I can only spend a couple $100 and go out with a setup like the guy who won this race and do this too?
Yeah, I mean, and just to kind of give you a little background on my setup, I bought this wheel 12 years ago when I first kind of was branching into NASCAR, and they cost me $300 back then, and it's been a great wheel. You know, I hats off Logitech, and actually this wheel is obsolete. If I were to break it, I'd have to get a different type of wheel. They're on a whole different model now. So I'm used to it. It's my favorite, and if it ain't broken, I typically don't fix it. So it's neat to beat up on these guys with these big, massive, expensive setups. And I think for the viewers, it's neat for them because they can understand that they don't have to spend on that huge dollar amount to get into iRacing. And I think 80% of the iRacers, that are on the service, I think you're probably on similar setups to what I got. So I think I relate to a lot of the average racers a lot more because they're on a very similar rig than I'm on, basically a wheel clamped to a desk, just up in my my little man cave upstairs. And so I think it really shows that this is a very inexpensive way to get involved in racing, and I'm excited to kind of show that off.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Next, we'll go to WAKG Piedmont Broadcasting in the line of Barry Richmond. Mr. Richmond, go ahead, please.
Yes, Timmy, congratulations. Good race today.
Thank you.
You know, you talked about the reality of what we saw as viewers. As a driver, do you ever lose touch with the fact that you're actually in the virtual world versus in the real deal racetrack?
I tell you what, the rush of emotions typically feels a lot the same, you know, because I knew there's a lot on the line and there's a lot of people watching. So I really want to be careful about what I did and what I said. It's definitely not the same because when I'm in a car in real life, you know, I really don't want something to fail because it's probably going to hurt. So I think you see a lot more aggressive moves on iRacing than you do in real life just because, you know, at the end of the day, it's not going to hurt you. But with that being said, you know, the feel of the rush of emotions definitely feels just like a real race.
Well, and to that point, you talk about things that you can do in the virtual world that maybe you wouldn't try on the real track. Are there takeaways that you can carry to Texas the next time that will transfer onto the a real Sunday afternoon?
Yeah, what iRacing does for me personally, you can really find where the limit is, right? So you can say, hey, I practice tons of laps, and this is where the limit's at. So when you go there in real life, you say, hey, there's the limit. Let me at least kind of work through the limit or let me not go past the limit. So definitely obviously, when you go there in real life, you're hoping your car works just as good, if not better. My case typically doesn't work as good. So I kind of back it up from there and hope my car drives pretty good.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Our next question will come from The Athletic and the line of Jordan Bianchi.
Hi, hey, Timmy. Jordan Bianchi. I have two questions for you. The first question is, has any doors started to open for real world opportunities or maybe an opportunity with a bigger team?
Well, for me, I haven't contacted anybody yet. You know, I hope that maybe from this, that some people would open their eyes to some of the guys towards the back of the garage. You know, several guys that don't really get a lot of coverage because of the equipment that they're in. You just don't hear their names. And for me personally, I've been in the sport for 10 years and don't really get talked about much, but I feel that I can get the job done given that opportunity. I'm trying to showcase that as many times as I can. You know, one of the reasons why I started my own truck team was to build a better program for myself so I can really compete and do well. And I'm trying to build as much as I can with the money that I have. And I'm really kind of trying to invest in myself so I can put myself in a position where people recognize that. So when I finished fifth last year in my own truck with basically me and one other guy working on a truck, I thought it was a big statement. And I'm only trying to continue that. I'm trying to showcase my own name and showcase my talents. You know, I really feel that I can drive at a high level in top equipment given that opportunity. I don't know if that will come from this, but you never know. I kind of hold hope for that, and we'll kind of see.
Second question is 3 weeks ago, did you ever think that, you know, on national television, you'd be racing Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Denny Hamlin for a win 1 week, and then the next week on national television, you'd be winning a race?
No, I wouldn't think so. It's crazy. You know, 3 weeks ago, I was down in Atlanta with my truck team. We're unloading the truck, and then we had to push it back inside, you know, so we didn't know what the coming weeks had to offer. And I'm glad that this happened because it's a great way to showcase a lot of guys who maybe don't get the recognition. You know, Garrett Smith, he's done a great job. Chase Briscoe did a good job last week. Ryan Preece finished second today. So a lot of guys who don't get as much TV time or talks about, it's a fun way for fans to kind of learn more about us. And so I think when we actually go back racing, fans will interact with us more. And I think the whole sport will be positively affected because of it.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Dustin Long at NBC Sports. Timmy is ready for your question.
Thank you. Timmy had a couple questions. How is what you do, the move with William, the bump and run, how is it similar or different on the iRacing model compared to what you would do in a real car? Was it the same thing? And can you kind of talk me a little more through it? Was that kind of the plan all the way through, or did something happen where you got in the backlog?
So for me personally, no, I didn't go into it thinking I had to move William. I'm sure as everybody watched the race, Texas, with the way this form had it wide open in 3 and 4 and barely left in 1 and 2, I think you see drivers getting massive runs. And the car in front has a couple options. You could try to race the guy heads up side by side, or protect block all you can. And for me, in the closing laps, five laps remaining, when Williams threw a big block to protect his line, I had the option of either get hit from behind, hope I don't get hit from behind, or give him a little bump and run and keep going. So my mindset, I had to make a quick split-second decision, and it was to go for the win. And I didn't want to put myself in a bad spot to either get hit from behind and take myself out of it. So I think when William blocked going into turn one, kept a low line and tried to protect his position, it kind of left a very few options for me to do in turn one, and that's kind of my mindset through it.
And let me also ask you is, you know, a lot of times people talk about, you know, if something happens on the track, there may be a need to have a conversation with somebody. So when something like this happens in a virtual race, is there a virtual conversation, or is there something you actually have to have or check in with William at all on something like this?
Well, you know, this is a very unique situation because, trust me, it feels real. And I'm sure he is mad. And that's one of the situations where I think if I call him today, he probably really wouldn't even want to talk about it, you know. So I got to probably give him some time to cool down, and I may try to reach out to him, and he'll probably still be mad probably for the next coming weeks. And even though this is iRacing, this virtual, the feelings are real, and I'm sure he probably is going to be very happy with me about it.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Our next question will come from Holly Kane with NASCAR Wire Service.
Thank you. Congratulations to you, Timmy. My question is sort of along those lines, and that is just maybe if you could talk a little bit about the intensity and do you expect it to raise appropriately as each race goes on?
Yeah, you know, the intensity is there. Like I said, I'm extremely focused. After the race, I can't believe how tight I hold the wheel. I got calluses on my hands. But the intensity is there. The focus is there. And like I said, that's a very real part of this game. And going forward, I'm going to have to kind of try to earn some respect back. You know, I don't necessarily know that I lost respect. But, you know, when you kind of give somebody a bump to run, they know that pretty much no love lost if they do it back to you. So I got to kind of watch that going forward. I'll be prepared for it. And I'll try to race as clean as possible going forward. But I saw an opportunity and I just couldn't resist.
I understand. And just as you were saying, so you expect that as each week goes, kind of maybe we'll see a little bit more of that.
Yeah, I think I'm assuming that next week we go to Bristol. If that's still the plan, I'm not sure. I haven't really spoke with NASCAR or iRacing or Fox about that yet. But if we go to Bristol next week, you're probably going to see quite a bit of it. So I think guys are learning the limits right now. I felt like what I did wasn't reckless. It was just enough to kind of move him out of the way and continue on without William crashing. So I think guys will probably push the limit harder and harder each week, learn how to kind of beat and bang on each other more and more. And these guys are only going to get better on the surface. And so I fully intend to see something like that in the future.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Lee Spencer with Racing Boys. Go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you. Congratulations, Timmy. Just to follow up on Davey's question, how much do you have invested in your setup?
So I'll kind of run you through it. My wheel is a 10-year-old wheel. Paid $300 for that. My desk, I bought that at Black Friday at Office Depot, $75 for that. We got $100 in my chair. And the most expensive thing I have is my computer. It's a gaming computer. It probably costs me $1,400. And that's probably the most expensive part of my my little rig here, but the thing about my computer is I use it for everything. You know, I use it for my taxes, my business. So it's not just solely a gaming computer. I have other things I do with it. So I don't really count 100% of that towards iRacing. So I think feasibly, you know, somebody can easily get into it for under $1,000.
Okay. And you were talking about, you know, the drivers, the game changers and all of this. So does it make it like a virtual IROC if you guys are running, you know, same cars, same setups, and the driver makes the ultimate difference in the, at the end of the day?
Yeah, it almost does. You know, what's neat about the race is I always try to play for the checkered flag. So at times you would see different drivers charge to the front, and then you see the drivers fade to the back. And the reason being is because we're on the same cars and we're trying to push the car at different times. So for me personally, is I would kind of settle in and take care of my tires. I wouldn't work the car too hard, and guys would charge to the field past me, past others, and really abuse their tires on the racetrack and fall to the back. So it does have the IROC feel. It still allows you as a driver to do different things. You know, if it were at Daytona, it'd be probably different feel, but at a track where you're still lifting, you know, Texas was a track where we didn't lift a whole lot. I think you saw some separation at Homestead because we saw more lifting. But it definitely tightens the field up and it creates the IROC feel.
And finally, can you just speak, since you've been doing this for such a long time and have so many starts, can you just talk about the evolution of iRacing since, you know, for a lot of us, the last 2 weeks have been our introduction to the sport?
Sure. I think when I first started, they probably had half the number of cars on the service that they do now. And what I mean by that is over the years, iRacing loves to reinvest in their service. So they've added a lot of road courses, a lot of road cars. They've added racetracks, and they really try to keep up with the racetracks as they change. And I mean, for Texas in particular, they just repaved. And for iRacing, they can't just make a couple adjustments when a track repaves. Yes, you have to come to the racetrack and they rescan it, reprogram it, re-put it back in the system. And it takes a long time, but they do an excellent job of reinvesting in their service. And I can't thank them enough. But over the years, they've updated the Cup car a number of times because in real life, we've updated the Cup car. And they look to keep iRacing as real as possible. So when NASCAR does updates, whether that be the style of the body of the car, or whether that means the spoiler or the downforce package and the restrictor plates, iRacing is really quick to jump on along with NASCAR. They come to race shops and they come to the racetrack and they really learn. You know, they take a lot of advice from drivers and they really try to get their platform and their service as realistic as possible. So to see the evolution of iRacing, it's really grown over the years and it's only going to keep on growing.
Appreciate your time and enjoy the win.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Our next question will come from the line of Chris Knight with CatchFence.com.
Yeah, hey, Timmy, congratulations on the win. During this unprecedented time, do you think this Invitational Series might lead to a new branded division for NASCAR licensed drivers that takes off during the 2020-2021 offseason that could offer more incentives such as purse and live television coverage as an additional opportunity to showcase drivers, teams, and sponsors?
You know, I think the potential's there. You know, I know NASCAR has been working with iRacing and they've been working with NASCAR Heat. And personally, I think iRacing is far greater than NASCAR Heat. And I'm glad that NASCAR is partnered with iRacing. It's only going to become bigger and grow more. I think the competition is definitely there. And I think it's the potential to grow as much as it can. You know, with that being said, iRacing has done a great job over the last couple of years. I've kind of been involved in the Peak Series, and now it's the Coca-Cola Series, and they have a tremendous opportunity for iRacers to get involved, and I believe the purse this year is $300,000, so they had a heck of an opportunity to win a much larger purse. The only thing they're lacking right now is the broadcast side of it. Right now, they're only broadcasting on YouTube and Twitch, and they get a lot of viewers right now, but with this trial, what Fox is doing with NASCAR and iRacing, it's getting more of an audience involved, and I think it's introducing people to virtual racing a little bit more. And
I don't know what comes from this, but I think the possibilities are definitely there, and I'm excited to see how it could grow.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Congrats.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Woody Kane at Motor Racing Network.
Hey, Timmy. Congratulations. You've mentioned a couple of times about running in the real world for some of the smaller teams and even starting your own truck team. How challenging are these times with, you know, it's unprecedented for everybody, but I know a lot of the smaller teams kind of depend on being at the track every week to make this whole thing work. How challenging are these times for you with your cup side and then as the owner of a team on the truck side?
It's extremely challenging. You know, the first couple of weeks, you know, we don't have that many employees on my truck team. Like I said, I only have one employee for me, so it's only the two of us. So I feel pretty safe about some of the work that we do. We kind of space out from each other, and we've been still working the last few weeks and really building our stuff. So I've had to kind of dig into my savings account, and I got a really good crew chief in Greg Eli, and I don't want to lay him off during these times. A lot of teams have had to lay off. I know at NBM Motorsports, they've had to really make some tough decisions on whether how they want to move forward, because unfortunately, you know, we need the purse money to keep progressing. So for me personally, I think NASCAR is really trying to run all the races. So I always want to reinvest in my program. So for me personally, in the truck team, I haven't laid my one employee off. I've still been paying him, going into my savings, trying to figure it out. And we've been working together for a full year now. We work really well together, and I feel like he's part of my family. So we'll keep working hard. You know, hopefully we can race sooner than later, because like I said, we rely on that purse. And obviously when we go back racing, we do run all the races, I'll be able to make a lot of that money back. So business as usual for me right now. And I just hope we go back racing soon.
Me too. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Next, we'll hear a question from Greg Engel with Auto Week.
Hey, Timmy, congratulations. As an aside, Eddie Gossage just posted on social media that he does have a hat for you.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, so congratulations on that.
Thank you.
What I wanted to ask is kind of a two-part thing. How much confidence does this give you? Obviously, you've won in iRacing before and you go back to the track, but now you've done it in front of your peers. You know, some of the top drivers were there. How much confidence does that give you now going back to the track and having this win under your belt?
It definitely has a lot of confidence. You know, it was really neat the first race when I went and rewatched the broadcast, and I look forward to rewatching this one this evening, to hear like Dale Jr. say I was his favorite, and to hear a lot of commentators think that I was their favorite, and they're kind of rooting for me to win. And to come up short last week because of tires, I was really disappointed. And, you know, I got so much experience on the service that I really want to capitalize on it. So I put in a lot of hours this week, really wanted to do well. So to finally win, that was really neat. I got, you know, a lot of congratulatory messages from the competition and the server before I left. And going forward, you know, I think I've become, you know, so to speak, the target everybody shoots for as far as times and practice and what to shoot for. So I think it's exciting. Looking forward to what that may bring for me.
And my final question, seeing how the popularity is increasing, you know, they got the purse and everything for the series. Since you hover around the cup, you know, the cup kind of, I don't want to say in a bad way, but you're not one of the, you know, you're not one of the top drivers. Yes, you're making a living, but could you see this as a full-time gig for you if the money came around and the exposure came around?
As far as
iRacing, I mean. Yeah, sorry.
Well, it's, you know, for me personally, I tried iRacing, and I was a part of the Peak Series, so I was part of the series that pays
right.
money, and which was very tough to do for the last 3 or 4 years. And the toughest thing for me in that series is they require you to build your setups. So for me personally, I just didn't have that amount of time to take time and build setups and do well in my series. So, you know, at one point in service, I was ranked number one. When I joined the Peak Series at the time,
it kind of really dropped because you're rating based on how you race, and that took so much of my time. I just didn't have the time for it. I'm so committed to real life racing that I had to kind of bail on that series just because I couldn't put the effort and the time in for it. But what's neat about this Sunday's race is the fixed setup series, so I can adapt quicker because I'm just trying to learn one setup. I'm not trying to drive, change an adjustment, drive again, change an adjustment. It just takes a whole week to do. And, I don't know. It's I never want to take away from anything I do in real life. If iRacing can put on something for a fixed setup-based series, it would be neat. I've been kind of an advocate for them to do that. I think the racing that you saw today was really great racing. I think it really brings drivers' talent out of it. I think when you force drivers to have to make changes on their own, I think some separate from each other. And I don't think necessarily the best talent comes away from that. So when everybody's on the same setups and the same cars, I think driver talent alone rises. And if they do something like that, I'd totally be in for it.
Well, good. Drink that milk. Enjoy the win and enjoy the hat when you get it. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thanks for the good news, too.
Next, we'll hear from the Pocono Record and the line of Zach Sterniolo.
Timmy, congratulations. You've touched on this a few times, but when you look at the top five, what do you feel like this does for guys like yourself, Garrett Smithley, Landon Castle, who are usually driving underfunded equipment on the track?
I say this time and time again, some of the best drivers are unrecognized because of the opportunity that they're in. And I've made a career personally out of taking cars that were 35th to 40th place cars and qualifying in the shows, 25th, making shows on time. The reason why I've been able to stay in the sport is because I can take a car and elevate it to a level to make fields and ultimately make a paycheck for teams. So, I wish people would kind of focus back towards that side of the garage and understand that the deficits that we're facing going into a race, because I think a lot of guys are shortchanged on some of their talents. And I feel like I'm one of them. I feel like a lot of the guys in top five are in the same boat as I am. So I'm glad that this is kind of showing a little bit of that. And I don't know if it will transfer in real life, but I'm glad at least for the last couple of weeks and going forward that I can kind of showcase that a little bit.
On the grand scheme of things, do you feel like this is an important time for NASCAR right now, just being that even if it's virtual, this is the only sport putting something out there that's live every Sunday at this point?
I think for NASCAR, it's a great way to stay relevant in a time where people are just starving for content and for entertainment. What's neat about iRacing is it relates a lot to what we do in real life. Unfortunately for other sports, with basketball and different other sports, you can't really translate to a virtual reality, so to speak. You can't go on PlayStation and really get the same comparison to what iRacing provides as far as what the comparisons to NASCAR. So I think it's a great way to put this content out there for NASCAR to stay relevant, for the drivers to kind of stay involved with the fans, and really to kind of get that competitive edge on each other. It's we're all fighting here, and it's a great way to really to stay relevant.
Thanks, sir.
Yes, sir.
Timmy, congratulations again, and thanks for taking your time this afternoon to answer the questions from our group. We'll hear next from Devin Henry at Sports 360 AZ.
Hey, Timmy, appreciate your time, man. Huge congrats on the win. What do you think that this series means for everyone, whether they're NASCAR fans or not, during this kind of crazy, unprecedented time, having some sort of live sport to kind of get away from everything with?
It's a fun way, I think race fans in general love watching all types of racing. Heck, I was watching Twitter the other day and I saw somebody had marbles racing down a mountain, and I thought that was entertaining. So I think this is far beyond that, obviously, but it's really realistic. So the racing, it looks almost real. Some people who flip to the channels may think it even is real. So I think it's a great way to keep these fans entertained. I think it's a great way to keep the drivers involved. And to keep talking about NASCAR, really, I think it's a great thing.
Congrats on the win, man. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much.
Our next question will come from TSJ Sports and Noah Lewis. Please go ahead. Your line is open, Noah.
Hey, Timmy, congrats again. First, you told us back in Daytona that you kind of that was a bit of a statement for you to kind of say to the fans that have always discouraged you that, hey, I can pull this off. Is this kind of a feeling like that? And then also, can you just talk about the feeling of winning today's race compared to, you know, the feeling of the final laps in Daytona when you got that great finish or Martinsville, and how that felt to you today?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, this finish today feels really special. And like I said back in Daytona, you know, I try to capitalize on the opportunities when I'm given them. And a lot of weekends, I just don't have the opportunity to really shine. You know, it doesn't look pretty most weekends when I take a 40th place car in Xfinity and we can qualify 25th with it. Most people won't say 25th is any good, but I don't think they understand how much I elevate these cars. And when I come to Daytona, we've been able to put together good programs when we come to Daytona in February. This particular Daytona in February, we came down there with the Gibbs motor, and we run much better, more competitive, finished third. The 500, we ran in the motor, made the 500, and really ran well in the 500, so we got caught in a crash with 12 to go. With that being said, with iRacing, I'm given a good car every time I log in, right? So I'm able to take advantage of that every time and look better when I'm on iRacing because I'm not fighting a lot of the things I'm fighting on a regular basis in NASCAR. So with that being said, I definitely try to capitalize every time I get a great opportunity. I'm trying to capitalize every time I'm in a car. It just doesn't look like it a lot of times. So I really hope something can come from this. I hope to build from this and hope to really just keep carrying this on.
Well, thank you so much, Timmy. Congrats again.
Thank you so much.
And Timmy, again, congratulations on the win today. And in the interest of everyone's time joining today, our final question will come from the line of Seth Eggert with Kicking the Tires.
Hi, Timmy. With how often iRacing updates, whether it's a new tire model or something else, how long does it take you to get up to speed?
Typically, when they change a tire model, it doesn't take that long. It takes a little bit of adjusting because everybody's used to a certain way of driving. But it only takes me about a day, maybe two at most. And I think each driver is probably going to be a little bit different. It could take some drivers a couple laps, could take them a whole week, who knows. But iRacing does that to only enhance the racing and make it more realistic as possible. So I commend them for that. And but it doesn't take that long. You know, they're only trying to make the racing better and more realistic. So I look forward to every time. And they do that quarterly. So they do it four times a year. So I always look forward to that. I like to see the changes that iRacing makes each time we do that each year.
And how much of a new respect do you think your competitors have for iRacing?
I think a lot of them are definitely taking it more serious now. You know, I think they've underestimated the amount of effort it takes to be competitive. And I think that's why the competition is much better this week, because they saw how tough it was at Homestead and they said, heck, we got to work harder at this. So I think the respect for the service is just increased. I think it's only going to get more and more as we go down the line. I think they understand that this takes a lot of effort, a lot of work. You can't just jump on it and expect to be good. So I look forward to seeing how the drivers react in the next coming week and see how the competition increases.
Do you think they have a new respect for you, for Garrett Smithley and Landon Castle?
Yeah, I think so. I think, to be honest, I think they've always did. I think in the back of their minds, they always have. And this almost just puts an extra stamp on it. They understand a lot more. You know, I think drivers in general, I always, in situations where I do have a better car and I look back at some of the other people, you kind of know what guys are up against and what they're driving and some of the struggles that they can't control. But you can always tell. So I think for the most part, a lot of these drivers understood and respected the driving that I've always done each weekend, and they understand the struggles that I've always been up against. And I think if they haven't, it just almost clarifies that throughout these couple weeks that we've been doing iRacing.
Thank you, and congrats once again.
Thank you so much.
Timmy, congrats again, and thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm happy to answer these questions and excited to celebrate a little bit.